Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you better run. Yeah, I break the
morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Witness is no
illusion. If you like rain, anyway. If you like rain, anyway, I can lift your spirits. I just saw that Drew Hill tweeted out a piece over at the Daily Memphian that more than 50 members of the Oak Grove Baptist Church came to Memphis to celebrate him. This is his old church. And there's a great photo of him sitting at the drum set. Did you know he played the drums?
I did not.
Yeah. Look at you. I'm
trying to find the photo.
I just tweeted it out. There is a... there you go. Actually, it was a service in Memphis, but with a... I'll lift your spirits today, ladies and gentlemen. Saturday morning, Memphis Grizzlies rookie Gigi Jackson, too, walked into Oak Grove Baptist Church, and something immediately caught his eye. He spotted the bright green drum set as the congregation began to funnel in. Then eventually, as the services began, the Grizzlies player raised his hand. Jackson wanted to know if he could play. Immediately, the drummer stood up and handed over the sticks. It was a moment that the rookie said he was going to cherish throughout his basketball career. This was not just any church service, a service in Memphis, but with a congregation full of South Carolinians. Jackson was raised in the Baptist Church. His father, Bishop Gregory Jackson Sr., serves as the pastor of the Church of God in Pleasant Hill, South Carolina, and has since his childhood. Goes on to say 57 members of the church decided to load up a bus that departed South Carolina to Memphis. By the way, they were set to arrive at Saturday's Grizzlies game ahead of the 76ers, but before they stepped into FedEx Forum, they needed to hold a service as they traditionally do on Saturdays. Here's the thing. They were more than 700 miles from home. Memphis Grizzlies team chaplain Donald Johnson knew just the solution. The senior pastor opened the doors at Oak Grove Baptist to the visitors as a place of worship. And then he gets on the drum set. Let's just see if he started. Let's see if I cut to the chase. Is he good? Jackson said he started playing when he was around 4 years old. It is the one thing he said he will never be humble about. He can rock. How about that? Someone
nice cross-handed form.
It was amazing. You see this 6'9" kid sitting up there, but he didn't look like a Grizzlies player. He was just right along with everybody else playing the drums and involved in the whole worship experience. Jackson says you can get lost in it, you know? It can literally just be you and the sound. I feel like I kind of have that on the court sometimes. When I'm dribbling, it can sound like a beat. What a terrific story by Drew Hill. Just came across the transom here. And you can read it over at the Daily Memphian. Just a fabulous story to lift your spirits on this rainy Wednesday. Jeffrey, I didn't know he played the drums.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here comes the sun.
Today on the radio show, John Martin will be with us in the next segment. We've got a busy day. John Martin and then Chris Harrington and then Sam Hardiman. And, man, we have a lot to talk with all of them about. Sam Hardiman, of course, this week broke the news that the financing package, that there's a draft proposal that would complete the financing for the FedEx Forum renovations. He also wrote a story on the mayor's first 100 days and also on a kind of budgetary mishap. They're missing $10 million. They're $10 million short.
It's not as bad as the University of Arizona, who acted like a $280 million...
Was no big deal?
Was like a rounding error.
What was that? I missed that.
So this was back, I think, in the fall. They misjudged revenues. Of course, like some of it came out of COVID, whatnot. And they acted like it was a rounding error. And then you found out it's like, oh, no, it's like $280 million.
Anyway, that's the lineup today. The beat goes on. We've got John Martin and then Chris Harrington and then Sam Hardiman. Grizzlies broke a record last night, Jeffrey, but they also
broke a streak.
Something else. They did. That's true too. But they broke a league record last night, but they also had one of their league records broken.
Mm.
So the league record that they broke.
Most starting lineups, correct?
Most starting lineup. It was their
50th?
50th. 50th starting lineup. How many games have they played?
I believe that was 79 last night.
So that was 79.
Yes, last night was 79.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
50 starting lineups. This one was Scottie Pippen Jr., Jordan Goodwin, Gigi Jackson. Brandon Clark went into the starting lineup, and Trey Jemison. That was the starting lineup. That was number 50. You'll want to enshrine that. They'll probably want that in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Don't you think that lineup will be in there? The previous record holder, by the way, was the 2009-2010 Warriors. And that team was Steph's first team.
Okay.
Went 26 and
50. So you're saying championships?
What I'm saying is championships in the near future. Also, that team went 26 and 56. So these Grizzlies have already outdone that team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a better. Of the teams with, you know, that was now they had 49 starting lineups. This one, 50 starting lineups. Brandon Clark became the 23rd starter. If you just stop for a moment and try to appreciate. It's one thing to be on a team at the end of the bench. Be on the team, even in the rotation, if you're a G League player.
I'd argue to collect a paycheck.
Yeah, like that's quite something. You can imagine a team rotating through a whole bunch of those people, churning, whatever else. starting for an NBA team is kind of a signature deal, right? Like, it's I'm an NBA starter. I started. I go in for the opening tip. 23 starters. 23 different starters and 33 different players. The latest, someone in, I think, has to be fictional, Jack White.
Yes.
Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
I thought he's in Nashville.
Timmy Allen. Timmy mm-hmm. Allen.
We're now getting into the celebrity names.
Yeah, yes. This is ridiculous. So there you go. The Grizzlies, as you pointed out. Anyway, so the record they broke was most starting lineups. The record that they held a share of, but was stripped from them last night, they shared the record for fewest free throws in a game with the Hawks.
Okay.
One. And the Celtics broke it last night by, in their game against the Bucks, not taking a single free throw.
And that's hanging out. That's hanging out at the three-point line.
That is something else.
That's aspirational.
Celtics they got nothing to play for.
Absolutely.
Now, mind you, the Bucks, who have plenty to play for.
Yes.
They shot two free throws.
Mm-hmm. So the refs swallowed the whistle.
Went 50% on those free throws. It was Giannis, who before we going out with a calf injury. And the news on the calf injury is, I mean, it's not great. Could miss some time here, but it's not devastating. He goes 1 of 2 from the line. And
As is tradition.
And the but sadly, the Grizzlies' record for fewest, this was the 2014 Grizzlies, had a game where they shot one free throw and tied with the Hawks. The 2018 Hawks also had a game where they shot one free throw. So it was really a historic. You wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had to be a part of that last night as the Grizzlies go down to defeat, as you pointed out, breaking their 13-game win streak over San Antonio, 102-87. It was a tidy 77-51 heading into the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a nice 12-point third quarter.
It was a 12.
They came out of the half and they said, you know, we got business to do.
It was a 12-point third quarter. They gave up a 23-5 run. For the game, they shot 34.6%. You didn't even get a classic. Now you got 7 blocks from Wemby. So that was,
yeah, like, I mean, he flashed, but at the same time,
you didn't have to.
Correct.
What did he have to do? You know,
Grizzlies were 4 of 24 in the third quarter, by the way.
I kind of appreciated the loss.
Yeah, I know.
It because I have been a little nervous.
I mean, Utah's lost 13 straight.
You can slip up. If they had slipped up and won 2 of their remaining 4 games, they could have lost. They could have slipped down in the lottery one more slot. And now I find it very improbable that, given that they play the Cavs, the Lakers, and Denver, I find it highly improbable that they will win 2 of those games.
And if I could make just a quick note to those teams, you don't want to go into the playoffs without some form.
Right. No, that's true.
You need to get ready. Treat this like a playoff game. Playoffs start now.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that the good news is that all those teams should be playing for something. I mean, you just go right through them. Cleveland right now is, if the playoffs were to start today, they would be playing Orlando. But they're tied with Orlando. The Knicks are 1 game ahead, and Indiana is a half game behind. Cleveland is 1 game out of the play-in.
Right.
Cleveland has plenty to play for. Philadelphia is a game and a half behind Cleveland in 7th. Indiana is half a game behind Cleveland in 6th. So Cleveland has plenty to play for. The Lakers, who, by the way, had won 9 out of 10 before dealing with the absence of LeBron, and last night the absence of AD, who went home with headache and nausea, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
They fell to the Warriors, and they're now...
Just a half game up.
I mean, all these teams are... At one point, it looked like, could the Lakers somehow get into sixth and avoid the play-in. When they were on this 9-10, now they're not going to. Now they're 2.5 games behind New Orleans. And New Orleans is the last team that's out of the play-in at sixth. They're sixth. Then you've got Phoenix at seventh, Sacramento eighth, the Lakers ninth, Golden State 10th. Honestly, the Suns, it was the Suns losing to the Clippers elevated New Orleans into the last spot, avoiding the play-in. Right now, look, imagine that. You've got Durant, and you've got LeBron, and AD, and Steph all in the play-in.
Well, the thing that I think is actually now interesting.
God.
At the top of the standings, okay, so as we've mentioned, potentially, if you're the two seed, you could potentially be playing Durant, Booker, in the play, or, you know, play them in the 2-7 game. But on the flip side, the top half of the bracket right now, it looks like the Clippers and the Mavs are going to be the 4-5 game.
It appears.
I wonder if there's going to be like any jockeying, like
jockeying to accomplish what? Because tonight, by the way, we have.
Well, I'd rather be in the bottom half of the bracket.
Tonight we have Denver and Minnesota playing for first.
Correct.
Colossal game.
And it appears Towns is going to play.
Is that true?
I think that's that was a Woj update. Let's see.
It really is kind of. I mean, there is fascinating stuff happening between 6 and 10 in the West. There's three games behind. Honestly, between number 2 in the East, Milwaukee, and number 7 in the East, Philadelphia. There's 3.5 games. So you've got, like, right now the last non-play-in team in the East is Indiana. They're at 6th. But then Philadelphia's one big game behind it at 7th. So it appears like everyone is going to have things to play for here. I don't think, let's be honest, I think the Grizzlies have won their last game.
I think so, too. I mean, even if there isn't a ton to play for, I'm just not sure what the Grizzlies are rolling out can be competitive.
Right. So it appears they will wind up the season with 27 wins.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
That would be what I would bet on.
Yeah, it appears they will wind up this season with 27 wins. Let me ask you this. Will they have more wins or starting lineups? Probably have more wins than starting lineups because they're only at 24. No, I'm sorry. No.
50
more,
starting.
More wins starters. Or team starters. Yeah, teams that start. That's what I mean.
More wins. Well, I think they're at this point.
They're stuck at 23, unless they start starting Jack White or something.
Right.
They're probably not going to have another.
Right. I think you're going to end up with more wins.
Brandon Clarkson, not starting tonight.
Right, but the fact that, like, you're likely going to be starting people that have already started for you.
Yeah, you will likely be starting people. Jordan Goodwin, by the way, a little shout-out to Jordan Goodwin last night. 19 rebounds. 19 rebounds. That is the most rebounds by someone who is 6'4 or under since Fat Lever did it.
Who could forget?
Certainly not Mrs. Lever.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. That is your NBA news. Calipari news anymore? We had yesterday the video saying it's time for a new voice at Kentucky. We do not yet have.
It's official.
Oh, it is.
Yep.
They've Arkansas, released it.
When
did that come out?
We've got the infographic. Well, Hunter Yurecek retweeted the red smoke over Bud Walton Arena earlier this morning. And 16 minutes ago, Arkansas's official men's Twitter account said, Cal those hogs. Hall of Famer John Calipari is officially the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Cal those hogs is good.
And they've got him photoshopped in his red blazer.
Did they say when he's going to be?
I've heard 6 p.m. today would be the press conference.
What did you make of the video yesterday?
You know, I mean, I thought he kind of said the right things.
I thought it was fine.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, it's time for a new voice.
As I sort of said this yesterday. Cal, you can accuse him of piling up the BS on all kinds of fronts all the time, but what he said was actually correct. It was clearly time for a new voice. Now, it just so happened that the fact that Arkansas job was open, is that's when he started hearing the paying attention to the need for the new voice, right? It wasn't necessarily going to be a new voice unless someone was backing up a Brink's truck for him. But I thought fundamentally he was gracious. He talked about how much he loved it. He thanked everybody. I mean, I'm perfectly capable of being petty about John Calipari, but I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. I thought it was honest. And honestly, interestingly enough, at least on Twitter and X, in the responses to that video, if you just go to Cal's account and look at the responses, largely thanks, John. It was largely thanks, John. It wasn't largely F you, get the hell out.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I'm just always struck by with John Calipari. It's like, because he is such a, I guess, polarizing figure one way or the other, he's always going to have good things about him and there's always going to be bad things about him. And it just always strikes me as whenever it like gets to the end somewhere, like you're going to, like in the end, like he did take them to extremely high highs, wins a title for them. You know, they have, what was it, 8 straight years basically where they were either second weekend or Final Four. And so you had all these incredible like highs at Kentucky, highs that they hadn't seen in a very, very long time. And then in the end, it's just like, where's this going?
Well, that's true, too. And in the end, this is the problem with expectations. You know, you do what you do. You reset the expectations of a program. And then if you don't meet them, that's it. And we've seen that other places before.
Yeah, and like, I know we talk about the Oakland game really being the nail in the coffin. I think I would even go back to, I think this all begins with St. Peter's.
Peter, yeah. Meanwhile, appears more and more that my pick, Scott Drew, is going to be the head coach.
Seems very quiet on the old Waco front, doesn't
Seems
it?
Seems awfully quiet. I am a Baylor coach, nowhere else I want to be.
I've not seen the infographic or I've not seen a video.
I'll say that Billy Donovan's denial wasn't particularly strong. He said, "What he
no, I agree
what
with
he,
that.
What he said was that I haven't spoken to them, and quote, my total commitment and focus is here to this team and this group. That's not a denial, but the fact that you're hearing nothing out of Baylor,
that is what really
is
strikes
what's telling.
Me. Now, perhaps maybe Kentucky's doing the move of we're kicking the tires on Donovan, and if that doesn't work, then we're going Scott Drew, but." We've seen a lot of strong denials out of multiple locations.
Right.
Nothing out of Waco.
We've seen nothing out of Waco. A couple of things I wanted to get to. Again, we got John Martin, then we got Chris Harrington, and then we have Sam Hardiman. Busy day here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Some football news. First of all, did you see the Showboats have made tickets $10 going forward?
Good.
That's good.
Good spot.
That's good. I think that's good. We don't give the Showboats a lot of attention, but let's be honest. Look around the sporting world here in Memphis right now, right?
Oh, this would be a decent time if you got some live events.
This would be a good time for you to head out and buy a Showboats ticket if you and take in what the Liberty Bowl looks like before all the improvements. Remind yourself
right.
what it looks like
one last time
all the improvements. So that's cool. I saw that. That was interesting. Secondly, Jeffrey, and I know this is going to excite you. Oh, well, there's a new defensive line coach. See that?
I did.
From Ohio University.
Nowinski? Spence Nowinski. Yeah.
So that's happening at the University of Memphis. Mel Kiper. New mock draft.
Are you doing what I think you're going to do?
Am I going to call your attention to who they picked in the second round? Isn't that amazing? You and I, we zeroed in on exactly the same thing. But before we get to that thing, the new Mel Kiper mock draft. And by the way, is it 15 days from now? Is it two weeks from today? No, today's Wednesday. It's two weeks from tomorrow,
I believe.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
So you're right, 15 days. You nailed
15 days. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we got the actual draft. So if you're going to get your mock drafts 3.0, 4.0, 5.0, 6.0 in, you gotta pick up the pace here, people. And so we got Mel. And
I believe this is Mel's first time expanding. First time this
into
draft
the second
season.
Round.
Into the second round.
Anyway, you've got... we got the Bears taking Caleb Williams, which is everyone understands. That's what's happening now.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Then the one where there's mystery, but it does feel like most people are coalescing around Jaden Daniels to the Commanders.
Well, and then there was a question at Daniels Pro Day. They had Brian Kelly they were interviewing him, and he's like, he dropped Washington, and there was the question of like, oh, have they already told Jaden? Was that just a Freudian slip? Was that
right. Daniels is going to the Commanders.
And honestly, if I had the second pick, that's what I think I'd do.
New England, Drake May.
Yep.
They do need a quarterback, and he looks like Josh Allen a little bit. Big, mm-hmm. strong guy, and I hope he's not. And then Arizona takes Marvin Harrison. They don't trade down. They stay put, and they take Marvin Harrison.
And I think we got reports yesterday, and again, asking price reports are never, like, in the end, I don't care what the asking price is. I care what is the price
that you're being.
The asking price apparently is three firsts.
Yeah, just.
That's a lot.
Three firsts for J.J. McCarthy.
That's a lot to move up for QB4.
It's a lot to move up for QB4. So they sit there and they take Harrison.
You better really believe in him.
Then you have the Vikings, however, do move up into the Chargers slot. And they get an extra one to do this. And the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy at 5.
I mean, the only problem I have with that is Harbaugh last week said, Jeff, if quarterbacks go 1 through 4, we got the number one pick. I mean, are they really going to give up the number one pick?
Well, yes, no, but this isn't 1 through 4. Harrison went.
True.
According to this mock draft, at least, Harrison went. Then, let's see. Then we got...
Giants with Malik Nabers. I don't know if I've seen a mock in the last...
That doesn't have Malik Nabers.
And I'm totally fine with that.
Right. And then, of course...
My stance on LSU receivers is the same as Wisconsin tackles. If you take an LSU receiver, I'm fine with it.
Then we have the one given in all of these mocks, Joe Alt to the Titans.
Correct.
The tackle. Dallas Turner to the Falcons.
I feel like that's another popular one, too. Like, I feel like that...
Adunze to the Bears,
right.
Which I think would be great, obviously. And then Bowers, which you see a lot, too, to the Jets. Okay? What's interesting here is that now Denver does not take Bo Nix with their first-round pick, which a lot of people have, either Penix or Nix, but in particular Nix going to Denver in a lot of mock drafts, but not in this one in the first round. And the Raiders don't take Michael Penix.
Yep.
Which a lot of people... Indeed, neither one of those quarterbacks goes in the first round in Mel's mock draft. So you just have the four. You don't have the other two.
Yep.
And know what that does? That enables the Giants to trade up in Mel's mock draft to 33 and take, and I hate to say this, because you know how I root for you.
Yeah, no, totally.
Bo Nix to the Giants!
I mean, the good news is, if you're having to project trades, second round, whatnot...
The likelihood is extremely low.
The likelihood's not that good. Reading the tea leaves, if the Giants end up taking a quarterback, because they're not going to be able to get to the top-end guys... It seems to me that the Giants definitely love them some Michael Penix Jr. And my deal is, if we're going to take a quarterback, I'd rather do that.
Well, in this mock draft, the Rams end up taking Michael Penix Jr. at 37. Entertaining, though, and a mere 15 days from today.
I'll get you going.
And then a couple other things. Again, we got John Martin coming up next.
I'm still upset that the Bills, nobody's doing what I want the Bills to do. I want Ladd McConkey on the Bills.
Yeah, a lot of people have the Bills trading away next year's first to move up to get a receiver. And I am not in favor of that. I'm in favor of throwing multiple darts.
Yeah.
Like, do what Green Bay did, right?
Don't go all in on just one receiver.
Yeah. Like, who the hell knows if... What the hell's on a receiver from Michigan? Or Pearsall from Florida?
Yeah.
Or, like, they could be just as good
as
these other dudes, as Brian Mitchell. Like, you know, whatever. Like, I just throw a bunch of darts like Green Bay did. Anyway, enough of that.
All right.
Two other pieces of news. One is, and this number came in, and we expected it, the women's game did, in fact, outdraw the men's game. The men's game... drew 14.8 million. Men's championship game drew 14.8 million. That's up slightly from 14.69 million the previous year, but it is 4 million fewer than the women's game. Lots of reasons for that. Of course, one is that the women's game was on Sunday on ABC. The men's game was on Monday on TNT and TBS. But there you go. We expected it. It's still staggering. I did not expect. For you can say what you want about all the what network it was on, whatever.
Yeah.
This is an incredible phenomenon that we have witnessed. Do you think it helps, by the way? It clearly helps that Caitlin, it doesn't just help, it's the biggest reason that Caitlin Clark as a phenomenon exists, right?
Yes.
Do you think that the NIL stuff, and I know everyone hates NIL and everyone hates the transfer portal and whatever else, but the fact that we see her now on commercials, does that also make her more of a... One thing that the women's game has that the men's game doesn't have is more recognizable stars who stick around, right? The biggest part is that they stick around.
Right.
But also, in sticking around, all of a sudden they're becoming people who we see popping up. We get to know them on commercials. Like, we know Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and you know, there's Caitlin Clark.
I'm going to say...
You don't think it...
I'm not saying it's a nothing burger, but I think if you look at, she's just now starting to get, like, bigger right. with all the ads and whatnot. I just don't really, I think, like, in the end, the biggest deal with her was we saw her for 4 years. Last year was, like, the coming out party. And then this year, the thing that I found.
You got her again. Yeah.
And not only that, how often do we see someone have a really special, awesome, great year and then kind of have an okay year? And she just delivered.
Like Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
she
delivered all year.
And then finally, this bit of news. In the my last bit of Eclipse news, I promise.
All right.
In the path of the Eclipse, in the path of totality in the Eclipse, the path of totality, you know what was down?
What was
dramatically
down? Visibility?
What was down? No, not visibility. Internet traffic.
Ah, because everyone went outside.
Isn't that interesting? Like, yeah, it's the one thing that got people to put down their phones. Or if they picked up their phones, they were just trying to take a picture, right?
Yeah.
But internet traffic in the path of the totality was down, depending on or on how you measure it and who was measuring it, 40 to 60%. People went outside and they put down their phones. So we know what it takes. All it takes is an eclipse. Is a total eclipse, and then people will
true natural phenomenon.
At least
that's it.
That comes upon, you know, whatever. And then people will actually put down their phones. Oh, I didn't get to the Ja case. Yeah, that too. Ja Morant. It was funny because the news yesterday was reported in various places as being that Ja Morant was found, that the judge ruled that Ja Morant acted in self-defense in the civil lawsuit brought by the Holloways. And that is, of course, not what the judge ruled. The judge ruled that that Ja properly raised the issue of self-defense. I'll actually read from the... It's funny because people are like, stop saying that. Stops on Twitter. Stop saying that. Stop saying that, you hater. It was a win for Ja, but let's be clear about the nature of the win. Here is from the decision itself. The question presented at this stage of the proceedings is whether Mr. Morant has fairly raised self-defense. Under the SDI statute, the burden of proof at the evidentiary hearing is initially on the defendant to present sufficient admissible evidence to fairly raise the issue of whether the use of force was justified. If the court concludes that Mr. Morant has fairly raised self-defense, then a presumption of immunity is created and the burden of proof shifts to the plaintiff to demonstrate the civil liability is not barred. So there you go. So all he had to do was establish whether issue of self-defense was fairly raised. And then to read the conclusion, as she goes on to write, Judge Chumney, for these reasons, the court concludes that Mr. Morant has fairly raised self-defense. That's not the same as the court concludes that Mr. Moran has acted in self-defense. Those are different words. They mean different things. It is a big win for him. Sadly, it doesn't mean the end of this, because I have always thought that this was bogus, or as you called it yesterday, I think a shakedown.
I've been calling that for months.
It was a fight at a, yeah, it was a fight at a pickup game. It was a scrap at a pickup game. The only reason it's a lawsuit is because
Lawsuit was filed.
Is because Josh has, I mean, Josh has hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
That's the only reason. And so I'm not Team Holloway on this. I don't think Josh should have smacked him, to be clear. I don't think Josh should have smacked him. I know he missed a tough guy and smack him. But I'm not particularly sympathetic to the lawsuit. But I do think that it's kind of significant that we know what actually was decided yesterday, and what actually was decided is not what a lot of folks are saying was decided. All right, we got John Martin coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, spring and summer, great time, because people are moving in and out, they're changing school districts, they're changing jobs, all of that. This is a great time to have your house on the market. And Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. When I met with him, I was absolutely blown away. New website, by the way. It's joshhasthebuyers.com, which I like. joshhasthebuyers.com. You can still call the same number, 461-8147, 461-8147. But he knows the market. He knows how to market your house. He knows how to get multiple offers. He knows how to do it quickly. Josh offers flexible fees, no upfront cost, and he will let you out of your contract at any time. It's Josh Hysaw. The phone number, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. John Martin coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Unsportsmanlike, where sports and entertainment collide. Weekday mornings from 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji Aluminum Free Dry Spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Laundry Room. For as long as I can remember, this was the only place to get a good Wi-Fi connection. Until we got Xfinity. Now we have Wi-Fi all over the house. So, you're probably wondering why I'm still hanging out in here, when I could be happily streaming in the attic, basement, or literally any other room. Well, the truth is, it's warm in here. And I like the smell of dryer sheets.
Get out of here, weirdo.
Hey, close the door. You're letting cool air in.
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi with Xfinity. Now through April 21st, get started with 300 megabit internet for $35 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract and get free Wi-Fi equipment included for a year. Plus, ask how you can save 40% over T-Mobile in your first year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires prepaid postpone and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Actual speeds vary. Converts Xfinity Connect More Internet against T-Mobile Home Internet at $60 per month. Regular pricing applies after promo period.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 6-packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties are just $3.49 each with your card and digital coupon. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors in Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My three boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
Hey, Kathy, you know, I've been seeing those State Farm commercials. You guys have built quite a team. Mahomes, Kelsey, Derrick Henry.
Bundleba Auto and Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Steve, we're proud of that team, and I'm proud of my team.
Your team is awesome. I know firsthand. If there's a question or problem, they're on top of it.
My name is on the sign outside, but it's my talented team inside that makes the difference.
Hey, call Kathy Thurman Edwards, State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle.
901-767-7744. I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
Hey, I got a question for you. You hate bending over to put on your shoes? Wish you should just put them on standing or sitting without ever having to touch them? If so, then I have the shoe for you. Introducing new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. With new Skechers Slip-ins, you just step in and off you go. You don't even need to lace up. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide right into place. So just step in them and go. Find new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins for the whole family at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love with the free Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams with Odyssey. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the free Odyssey app today.
Hi, I'm Jay Gaddis with James Gaddis Jewelers. Are you looking to pop the question but don't know where to start? Come by Memphis's premier family-owned jewelry store, where we specialize in crafting dreams into reality. From dazzling diamonds to exquisite engagement rings, from modern fashion to one-of-a-kind custom creations as unique as your love, we have it all. Come visit us today on Poplar Avenue in East Memphis near Mendenhall, and let us help you find the perfect gift to celebrate life's extraordinary moments at James Gaddis Jewelers, your family jeweler.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Posters, flyers, signs, and menus for less? Think Staples. Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. Now at Staples, save $50 on your print purchase of $150 or more. Same day service available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. And all backed by Staples' Print Perfect Guarantee. So it's done right or it's printed again free. Staples, your local print and marketing expert. N61, visit staples.com/print for details.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Starting tomorrow, they're having a diamond and bridal event over at the Robert Irwin Jewelers location at South Haven. And you know how he is about diamonds. All shapes, all sizes, all cuts, all clarity, all budgets, the lowest prices on hundreds of loose, natural diamonds. You can get in there, buy your diamond, and then start designing your spectacular diamond ring. By the way, if you already have a diamond ring, if you've been engaged or married for a while and you want to upgrade the diamond, Howie will, and the folks at Robert Irwin will put the original diamond into a pendant for no extra charge. You can get up to 20% off or up to 5 years, no interest financing. It's Thursday through Saturday at the South Haven location of Robert Irwin Jewelers. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com. Joined now by John Martin. Jason, John, every single day. From 11 until 2. John, if you love John Calipari so much, why don't you just move to Arkansas, man? You know?
Because I've already been to Arkansas. I know what Arkansas has to offer.
I have
family there.
Remind me, when was it you went to Arkansas? It was a few years ago. You were reporting from Arkansas.
Are you sure? Are you, old man, are you misremembering?
What?
I don't think that ever happened. I have family there. My mom.
I know. Didn't you go visit family at one point recently? And I like within the last. Did you not? No. Have you been to Arkansas? Well, let's establish that. Have you been to Arkansas?
I used to go all the time. We used to go to Arkansas all the time.
Right, but not
every
recently.
Weekend.
But not lately. You don't go to Arkansas.
Yeah, because I can help it. I mean, I get to make that choice.
Why are you so down on Arkansas? But now that you, I read your column just slobbering all over John Calipari. You know, I think you should probably go and let me hear you call the Hogs. Here's John calling the Hogs. Nice job, John. It is now official. It was tweeted out this morning.
I enjoy that.
John Calipari's contract is a 5-year deal that starts at $7 million, includes a $1 million signing bonus, a maximum of 2 automatic rollover years for NCAA tournament appearances that could extend the deal through 2031. He's got a $6 million buyout. There you go. Let's be honest. If it so happened that Penny Hardaway had taken a job in the NBA, Charlotte, had hired Penny Hardaway, right? They want to bring his pop to Charlotte. And John were being introduced today at FedEx Forum, people would be over the moon, right?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Over the moon with happiness.
I will say, I did ask my brother-in-law about this.
Yeah?
You were like, we were out like 2 weeks ago.
This is your Arkansas family?
No, this is not my Arkansas family. Uh-huh. This is my Memphis family.
Okay.
And we were out to lunch the day after Cal lost to Oakland. And I said, hey, you know, and this particular brother-in-law really took it hard when Cal left. Like, still not over it type stuff, you know? And I asked him, I was like, if Cal got fired today, would you take him back at Memphis? And he said no. He said he would not take him back at Memphis because he would just do this. He said he would just do the same thing.
he would not because he only. Now you're getting him at the end. You don't believe? Do you believe? What are the chances that he is going to finish his career at Arkansas? Is he not? I mean, it's actually one of the good things about getting John at this stage. If you're Arkansas, do you think there's? Let's say John has a great year at Arkansas. And then, what job could come open next year? Tremendous job. Is there anyone?
Not one that he would leave for or that would hire him.
So I just don't, like, he's going to finish his career. It's actually a good time to be getting. He wouldn't do the same thing again. It's a good time to be getting jobs.
No, you're right.
There's nowhere, he's done jumping. Next jump is into the grave, man.
He is. The question is this going to be like, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon with the Raptors. You know, like, is this, like, just really... But I don't think so. I don't think that's what this is going to be. I think this is going to be I think there's still some fire burning in Cal.
Okay, but if the fire was burning in Cal, I'll just play devil's advocate, and I read your column. You're a very fine column. I was joking. If the fire is burning in Cal, what explains the last 5 years at Kentucky? Wasn't the fire burning then?
No, he got comfortable. I mean, he's on the mountaintop. He got comfortable, got complacent, you know, always got the talent, but
He got the freshman talent. And he was stubborn about it, too. He said, I'm always going to want a the best young player.
He was. But here's the deal, Jeff. Here's the difference. He didn't have anything to prove to anybody anymore. No, he'd won a title at Kentucky. He had been to four Final Fours at Kentucky. Like, his job security really wasn't in question until this year. So, yeah, as I put it in the piece, there's nothing like a little bit of comeuppance to sort of force you to evaluate yourself and reassess everything. And, you know, I think that's what's happening here. I think as human beings, I truly believe this. We need to be uncomfortable, to be our best selves.
100%.
Like, we need to have, like, something that is, you know, we need to have something to sort of fight for. Like, I'll use my example. Like, oh, my God. When I got the show in 2016, it was like my life's work. I mean, it was every waking moment I wanted to make sure that everybody who said that I couldn't succeed Chris Vernon, that I wasn't, and I don't give a damn, I'll say it, and I'll say it to his face. Nobody thought that I was going to be able to step in. Nobody thought that me and Jace were going to be able to step in and replace Chris Vernon and fill his shoes. And the reality of the situation is we did numbers on this show that he never did. But I had to have that fire burning to push me to get great guests, to bust my ass every day, to take it seriously, to not just come in there and just be grateful for the opportunity. You know, we need that. And I think Cal needed that. And so the truth of the matter is that at 65 years old, this is not the Tubby Smith golden parachute contract. This is him saying, oh, you ran me out of Lexington because you thought I was washed. Watch this.
Yeah, I think that's true. I do. And I can say that as someone, listen, John's 65, I'm 62, okay? And so I can tell you, like, look at Jay Wright. Like, Jay Wright at some point, he's not, I don't think he's as old as either of us, but Jay Wright at some point is like, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, like, I'm just kind of done, you know? I don't want to work as hard. And that's clearly what Jay Wright is saying, right? And so when you reach a certain age, you can say it's time to stop and smell. Well, you don't want a coach who's stopping smelling the roses. You want a coach who is fired up. And I do think between the money that he will have in NIL and his need to prove himself and the fact that he's literally going to be taking a team back into Rupp, if you're not getting the best John Calipari, because I don't know that you can get the best John Calipari, I think you will be getting a very, very good John Calipari. You have called, when I asked you this question on your show yesterday, you believe he will take them to a Final Four. That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot.
There's legitimately no difference in Kentucky and Arkansas. There's actually, he's probably going to have a better chance to do it at Arkansas because he's got a brand new, renewed vigor. He's got a fan base that he's starting fresh with. He has all of this NIL money from Tyson and Walton and, like, you know, everything. So his odds are actually better that he's going to go to the Final Four. There's nothing that he could do at Kentucky.
Let me ask you this.
He's not going to be able to do it at Arkansas.
I know you aren't a person who rooted against him. Maybe you did at the beginning. Did you root against John when he first went to Kentucky?
I mean, it was too difficult because he was too successful.
Right, I understand. Okay, but
like, I would say, like, there was no, I don't think so. I don't think I was like, I hope you fail every time.
Okay, I was. As you point out, it was a very painful experience because, like, they did it incredible. Like, he was incredible. Rooting against John in those years was a losing proposition.
Yeah.
Now, thank God they lost to Wisconsin. Like, they only won one national title. They didn't win the national title the year after he left here with the players who would have been in Memphis. That would have been painful. Are you now, though? It sounds like, honestly, partly because you wrote the column saying he's going to kill it, you're now going to be rooting for him, aren't you?
Kind of am.
I knew that.
I feel like, you know, I rooted for Caleb Love this past year.
Well, he's easier to root for now that he's been taken down a peg.
Totally.
Honestly, I rooted for Tom Brady. I rooted for the Bucs in that Super Bowl. I rooted for Tom Brady once he was no longer a New England Patriot. A little bit the same thing, right?
No question. I rooted for LeBron back when he was back in Cleveland that second time.
Yeah, and I didn't. Right? I didn't root for him in Miami. That's 100% true.
No. And I think what it is you know, you have, you know, greatness that for whatever reason is run out or. You know, whatever the
people rooted for people. Some people who never rooted for Tiger rooted for Tiger again when he won the Masters the last time, right? Yeah. Like that was like the redemption Tiger. We love that, man.
Absolutely. And we love greatness when it's like when it kind of falls from grace.
Right now, there's a lot of people out there listening right now saying, I'm never going to root for John Calipari. You out of your mind.
and I'm not going to root for him either.
It just makes him easier to root for. Yes.
But like, you know, there's something just implicitly lovable about the damn Razorbacks. I don't know what
it is. Well,
that's
the other thing. Honestly, like, here's the truth. Kentucky, how do you root for Kentucky unless you're a Kentucky fan? You can't. Because Kentucky's entitled.
Right.
Kentucky's entitled.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Arkansas fans, and I feel the same way about Mississippi State fans a little bit, like, they don't expect the world to be showing up at their doorstep every day. Like, they don't feel like they're – and so, therefore, and I like John better as an underdog, right? Now, he's going to be – they had success under Musselman, obviously. But still, when's their last Final Four? When was their last Final Four? William Cordis Williamson, right?
95. So they won the title in 94. Yeah. They went back to the championship game in 95, and that's their last Final Four.
That was the last one. Yeah, it's not going to be taken. I can root for Arkansas people. I can root for people who have a hog as a mascot, you know? I can do that.
Absolutely. They love it. They love being hogs. There's nothing they love more than being hogs.
They love being hogs, and I can appreciate that. Jeffrey, we've got a listener who drives the tractor, listens to us while we haven't heard from him lately, but he's out there on the, you know, he's doing his cultivating while he's listen to the Jeff Conkin show. How am I rooting for that dude?
Well, like, there's like, yeah, I mean, there's like, you know, yeah, Arkansas people are, they're, you know, they came about it honestly.
I don't know what you mean by that, but, and we're obviously trafficking in wild generalizations here, but,
it's not a generalization. It's not a generalization. It's 100% accurate. It's 100% accurate.
All right. So, did the NCAA tournament, Final Four, the way it all played out, did it cause you to think any differently about the Memphis basketball program?
Really? I mean, I think what we know about the Memphis basketball program, we don't need the tournament to prove to us. I thought the NCAA tournament was uneventful. I thought it was anticlimactic. But do I think it showed me anything or told me anything about Memphis that I didn't already know? I think it probably reinforced and put into action, you know, like it's not just Jeff and John and Jason and everybody on the station just kind of saying this. It's
okay.
Real.
What was
it's
you saying? Like saying you what? Saying that? What are the three lessons that you would that it reaffirms, John? That what we just witnessed reaffirms.
Are there three? I don't know if there's three.
I think okay, you got any?
There might be one.
What's the one?
I think if you really wanted to do this, you could break them out. But you know, it's minimize your roster turnover. I mean, bottom line, and that's the biggest thing. That's the only thing right now with Memphis. You know, the transfer portal is not something to sort of, you know, engorge yourself on. It's something that you indulge in every once in a while. You know, you take from it and you can enhance and you can sort of, complement and maybe even upgrade, right? I mean, that's certainly a possibility. But when you are, like, there's no team that was in the Final Four or the Elite Eight for the most part, or the Sweet 16 for the most part, it's not even for the most part. There's no point in me even qualifying this. That is building their roster over every single season. Like, that's just not possible. You don't get to that level and to that stage in the tournament and to the season by reconstructing your roster every single offseason. Sometimes you're going to have to do that just because of the way that the graduation cycle and eligibility clocks go. But in Memphis's case, they're having to do it every single damn year. You know, UConn had multi-year guys. Purdue had multi-year guys. NC State has multi-year guys. I can't remember who the other Final Four team was at this moment. But Bama had a little bit more than normal, right? But typically they have
they're all back next year, basically. Yeah,
they've got a culture that's already been sort of established that Mato's has. So, you know, it's just a little different, not a great.
Well, and Jeffrey did point out. Jeffrey went through the minutes again yesterday, looking at the championship game, looking at the minutes, and that's all sort of part of it. I think it's how you build continuity, right? Is by establishing roles, and so like that's the other thing. We've said that a million times.
Yeah, I mean, look, and this
Zach Edey never comes off the freaking floor.
He never comes off the floor. Not. I think if Penny had Zach Edey, I would like to believe he wouldn't come off the floor much either.
But
who knows? This is going to be the first year in Penny's career at Memphis where he is not beholden to a former East High School player or his son. So this is a new frontier for Penny. And is this going to be sort of the year where we say he's grown and he's willing to have those hard conversations? He's willing to bench guys and stick with certain ones and really, you know, flesh out those roles. I mean, I think that would be your hope, right? If you're trying to, you know, say.
Yeah, but it wasn't just like Amani wasn't, you know, it didn't fit into those categories. He's perfectly happy. He's perfectly willing to to coddle and make promises to players who are not his kids and not an East.
Well, yeah, it's happened before, but it's mostly been kids in his orbit or of his bloodline.
I think one of the interesting things is there is every year heading into the season, there has been in Memphis more hope than skepticism. Right? There may be some growing skepticism, and nationally there was clearly skepticism, but in Memphis every year there has been more hope than skepticism. This year, I think no matter what happens this summer, there will be more skepticism than hope. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, appropriately so. Appropriately so. I would say if you have more hope than skepticism, you're on crack. Like, I mean, there's just no reason for that. There's no reason to have more hope than skepticism. That's crazy as hell. Like, they only have two players right now, three players. Four, if you count the incoming freshman, I guess. And while it's a good start in the portal.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.